Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon. Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today's headline, New York City becomes the first in nation to force private companies to forcibly inject their employees with the COVID vaccine. The internet is melting down this morning when news that Bill de Blasio has authorized with his fascist decree that private companies in New York City must now forcibly vaccinate every single one of their employees, making no distinction between the size of the company. His words were a stunning throwback to 1933 Nazi Germany. Quote, "We live in New York City. No, we in New York City have decided to use a preemptive strike." That's what de Blasio called it. A preemptive strike to really do something bold to stop the further growth of COVID and the dangers it's causing to all of us. So as of today, we are going to announce a first-in-the-nation measure. Our health commissioner will announce a vaccine mandate for private sector employees across the board. And there it is. First strike, New York City, Bill de Blasio. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything new whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already been of old time, which was before us." On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, things are heating up to an end times boiling point. In New York City, we have Bill de Blasio announcing mandatory forced injections for all private company employees, something never done in the United States before. In the Atlantic Ocean, we have China preparing to invade Taiwan. In Eastern Europe, Russia preparing to invade Ukraine. And Iran moves ever closer to having a nuclear bomb. In Australia, COVID concentration camps have already been launched, and Twitter is censoring the American Heart Association for publishing a study that proves the serious health and heart risks connected to the COVID vaccine. This from the American Heart Association. If you thought 2020 was scary and that 2021 has been a brutal flexing of authoritarian global muscle, you're not going to like 2022 at all. Today in the Prophecy News Podcast, we show you what's coming, and it's not pretty. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here. And we pray, Father God, that you would work and move in all of our lives in a new and powerful way. Set us on fire for you, Lord. Set us on fire, Father God, to get something done for you in these last days. And Lord, we ask you to lead us and guide us today, and that we can look at the news through your filter of Bible prophecy. And Lord, we will thank you and trust you and give you all the glory for it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You'll have to forgive me. I'm not able to access my Facebook Messenger where all the information is for the prayer requests. So I am not able to pull those requests up. But we had a great day in prayer yesterday. The Sunday service was a blessing. Last night's Bible study, we got halfway through the seven churches of Revelation. And it was a lot of information that was given out last night. If you've ever wanted to figure out exactly what the seven churches of Revelation are all about, well, you need to listen to last night's Bible study, because we went into it in great detail. Lord willing, on Wednesday night, we're going to do part two. We have three more churches that we need to cover. But we prayed very heavily yesterday for everybody on the list, all the prayer requests for COVID and salvation. And hopefully you wrote some of those down and you'll remember those people in your prayers today. And again, I apologize. I have no access to Facebook Messenger right now, and I cannot pull up. We have all the prayer requests on this huge document that Lorianne maintains, and I just can't access it, so please forgive me. All right, let's get right into today's prophecy podcast. There is so much going on. Bill de Blasio, what he calls a first strike. You know what a first strike is? It's only the first one. How's that for going to the Greek and the Hebrew? How's that for digging for some deeper nuggets? A first strike is exactly what it sounds like. It is the first one. It absolutely implies that there's going to be strike number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, etc., etc. So let's take a listen to Bill de Blasio saying that he has launched the first strike against freedom. He has launched the first strike at forcing private companies to force their employees to be injected with the mRNA gene editing tool. Take a listen to Bill de Blasio.
Since the Omicron variant was detected, 17 states have had confirmed cases, at least 10 of which are in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, tri-state area. At least one case was detected in a person who had just went to a convention at New York City's Javits Center, an event attended by more than 50,000 people. That's not good. Joining us now, the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio. And Bill, you are revealing right now new measures to keep COVID infection cases down. What are they?
Yeah, Mika, look, we just talked about an attack on democracy. Well, we're under attack a different way right now from the coronavirus. And we've got Omicron as a new factor. We've got the colder weather, which is going to really create additional challenges with the Delta variant. We've got holiday gatherings. We in New York City have decided to use a preemptive strike to really.
There it is. We in New York City have decided to launch a preemptive strike. Huh.
Wait, do something bold to stop the further growth of COVID and the dangers it's causing to all of us. So as of today, we're going to announce a first in the nation measure. Our health commissioner will announce a vaccine mandate for private sector employers across the board.
There it is. Vaccine mandate for private sector employers across the board, making no distinction for companies with 5 employees like Mudflower Creative or companies with thousands of employees. Now, let me ask you a question. You're a smart person. How long do you think it's going to take until we see this popping up in Philadelphia, Seattle, Portland? How long do you think it's going to take before other states around? Now, you're not going to see that in Florida. You'll never see that happening in Florida. But in the vast majority of states in the United States, you're going to see this popping up. Remember we told you back in April that Emmanuel Macron, he did something that nobody in Europe had done, is that he issued vaccine mandates for his people. And within a couple of weeks, that's exactly what we began to see here in the United States. And now we see it in Australia and Austria. And now the president of the European Union has called for talks to implement vaccination mandates in every state in the European Union. So this is where we are. This is what's happening.
All private sector employers in New York City will be covered by this vaccine mandate as of December 27th. We're going to have some other measures as well to really focus on maximizing vaccination quickly so we can get ahead of Omicron and all the other challenges we're facing right now with COVID.
And curious, first of all, that's anybody and everybody who works in New York City has a vaccine mandate at this point. How do you enforce this?
You hear what she said? That's anybody and everybody that works in New York City now has a vaccine mandate. Well, there's got to be a couple of million people who work in New York City. This is a huge vaccine mandate. This is Nazi Germany, 1933.
We're going to work with the business community, and we've seen a lot of cooperation so far when we had put in place our mandate, for example, for restaurants, indoor entertainment, indoor fitness. We actually got a lot of cooperation. There were a few times where we had to penalize people, but it was rare. So we're going to put together the rules, work with the business community. But I'll tell you something, Mika, the fact that this is universal, and this would be my advice to mayors, governors, CEOs all over the country, use these vaccine mandates. And the more universal they are, the more likely employees will say, okay, it's time. I'm going to do this, because you can't jump from one industry to another or one company to another. It's something that needs to be universal to protect all of us.
So, Mr. Mayor, you see here one of the other measures is the.
So not only did you hear Bill de Blasio say that he's instituting a first strike, and he is now going to force all private companies to have their employees vaccinated, whether they're a very small company or a very big company. Then he said that mayors and governors of cities and states all across the country need to implement these measures immediately. 2020 was a crazy year. Everybody was shocked and confused. 2021 was the year that they began to inject the entire human race with these gene editing tools. And 2022 is the year that they're going to, well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Requiring vaccination for indoor dining, fitness, entertainment for children, too. Children now have access to the vaccine ages 5 to 11. I will say I'm surprised that more cities have not followed New York City's lead. Even Washington, D.C. does not require to prove your vaccination status to come in for a restaurant. But talk a little bit more about the reason behind that. But I want to go back to also the mandate for the private sector workers. The Biden administration's efforts to do this are tied up in courts right now. There's a lot of legal challenges. Do you not anticipate the same will happen here? And how confident are you can prevail?
We are confident because it's universal. I don't know all the intricacies of what the Biden administration has been through, but I do know this. Our health commissioner has put a series of mandates in place. They have won in court, state court, federal court, every single time, Jonathan. And it's because they're universal and consistent, and they're about protecting the public right now from a clear and present danger. Our youngest kids, we got to reach them now. Right now in this city, it's about 20% have gotten vaccinated in that 5 to 11 range.
So you heard de Blasio say that we need to protect the people against a clear and present danger. Now, if you can show me statistics to prove otherwise, I'm just going to go ahead and say that here we are at the end of year two of COVID, and the recovery rate remains at 98.8%. And if you can show me any information to the contrary, I'll be happy to take a look at it. But here at the end of, well, let's see how many days it is of 15 days to flatten the curve. Today is day 633 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And the COVID recovery rate after the Alpha strain, after the Delta variant, and now that the Omicron variant has been released, the COVID recovery rate remains exactly the same at 98.8%. So can anybody tell me where the clear and present danger is? If you want to look at statistics, let's look at statistics. Every single day, 3,235 babies are murdered in abortion. Every single day, 450 people die in the United States in alcohol-related car crashes. Every single year, about 40 to 55,000 people die of the flu. Where is the clear and present danger from COVID? If you can show it to me, I'll be very happy to look at it. But the numbers have not changed. In 2020, people began to die from COVID. The recovery rate was 98.8%. The vaccines were released at the end of 2020. And so far, 197 million Americans have been vaccinated. And the COVID recovery rate has not changed. 98.8%. So where's the clear and present danger?
It's new. The vaccine's relatively new. But what we're trying to say to parents is it's urgent. Before Omicron grows, before Delta continues to stress us even worse in the winter months, get your kid vaccinated. And here's an incentive to do it. A lot of parents, of course, want to take their kids out to wonderful things that will be happening in the holiday season. Here's a reminder. Get your child vaccinated. Just one dose will immediately qualify any child to be able to participate in those activities. But look, I'm a parent, and I remember vividly when my kids were going to school, you know, you don't end up in a situation where a child is left unprotected. I urge parents really strongly, get that vaccination. It's safe. It's been proven. Here's another incentive to do it.
So it's one dose for children, but two now for adults. Is that right for the program?
We're going to be phasing in two for adults as of December 27th.
Okay. And then secondly, just on, give us an update on the Omicron variant here. We know that there was at least a couple cases tracked to a convention that was at the Javits Center. The governor, you and the governor gave an announcement, I think, on Friday that gave updates of more cases throughout New York City and New York State. Where do things stand this morning? Where are you seeing spread? How concerned are you about the new variant right now?
Yeah, I am very concerned, Jonathan, and we have to assume community spread at this point. I mean, we'll track the cases. We have very strong test and trace apparatus, but let's be honest, and this is true for New Yorkers and all Americans. At this point, Omicron's here.
Yeah.
It looks like it's very transmissible. That's just going to make a tough situation even harder. I mean, the timing is horrible with the winter months. So I think this comes down to a recognition. We got to put this COVID era behind us. I mean, here's the bottom line for all of us. We've been living with this now for most of 2 years. We got to put it behind us. And vaccine mandates, in my experience, are the one thing that really breaks through. And we do know this. Vaccines, every single time, you know, every single time there's a fear the vaccine won't have an impact on a new variant. Well, guess what? Every single time the vaccines have worked. That's a good track record. Let's lean into it even more.
That's a good track record, Bill de Blasio says. Let's lean into it even more. Well, let's remind ourselves what the president of Bayer Pharmaceuticals, Stefan Ulrich, has to say about the mRNA vaccines. Let's remind ourselves, shall we?
Ultimately, the mRNA vaccines are an example for that cell and gene therapy. I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago in the public, would you be willing to take gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body, we would have probably had a 95% refusal rate. I think this pandemic has also opened many people's eyes to innovation in the way that was maybe not possible before. Those that take the leap to drive innovation really meaningful way and invest and take the risk to invest in R&D
don't take
will
the risk.
Also attain sustainability by creating job security and creating prosperity for those that take the investment. I think this is really important also for these latitudes here.
So that was the president of Bayer Pharmaceuticals. You remember Bayer Pharmaceuticals is the same company that created Zyklon B gas during the Holocaust. And those Zyklon B gas pellets created by Bayer Pharmaceuticals were dropped into a chamber, and all the people in the concentration camps were told that they were being brought to have a shower, and instead of water coming out of the shower head, it was Zyklon B gas. Well, that's the same company. The man that you just heard say that mRNA vaccines are not vaccines, they are gene editing technology. You need to remember that Bayer Pharmaceuticals is the same company that created Zyklon B gas. This stuff isn't hard to figure out, people. Twitter now says that the American Heart Association science article is an unsafe link because it shows that the mRNA vaccines cause heart damage. New research from the American Heart Association has been censored on Twitter because it exposes the serious health risks associated with Wuhan coronavirus vaccines. A link to this study was tweeted by someone named Marina Medvin, and it now brings up a bizarre and false prompt from Twitter that reads, "Warning, this link may be unsafe." Now, this study from the American Heart Association is a relatively short study, and I'm going to put the link into the chat room, but I'm going to read it to you for all of you people who are not in the chat room. And if you want to be in the chat room but you don't know how to find it, just go to ntebradio.com and you'll find it, ntebradio.com. All right, so here is the abstract of a study that was done for the American Heart Association. And it said, our group has been using the PLUS cardiac test, a clinically validated measurement of multiple protein biomarkers, which generates a score predicting the 5-year risk of a new acute coronary syndrome. The score is based on changes from the norm of multiple protein biomarkers, including IL-16, a pro-inflammatory cytokine, soluble FAS, and an inducer of apoptosis, and a heptacycle growth factor, which serves as a marker for chemotaxis of T cells into epithelium and cardiac tissue, among other markers. Elevation above the norm increases the PULS score, while decreases below the norm lowers the score. The score has been measured every 3 to 6 months in our patient population for 8 years. Okay, that's the backstory. Recently, with the advent of the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines by Moderna and Pfizer, dramatic changes in the score became apparent in most patients. This report summarizes these results. A total of 566 points aged, patients aged 28 to 97 with a male to female ratio of 1 to 1 seen in a preventive cardiology practice had a new score, drawn from 2 to 10 weeks following the second COVID shot and was compared to the previous score drawn 3 to 5 months previously pre-shot. All right. All that goes on to say this. Baseline IL-16 increased from 35 to negative 20 above the norm, which is 82 equal or greater than 75 above the norm. And then there's just a bunch of medical gobbledygook. And it says this. In conclusion, these changes resulted in an increase of the score from 11% to 25% for your acute coronary syndrome risk. At the time of this report, these changes persist for at least 2 to 5 months after the second dose of the vaccine. All right, if you only remember one thing that I tell you about this report from the American Heart Association, they say this. We conclude that the mRNA vaccine dramatically increases inflammation on the endothelium and T cell infiltration of cardiac muscle and may account for the observations of increased thrombosis, cardiomyopathy, and other vascular events following vaccination. So that is not fake news. That is not misinformation or disinformation. That is the result of a very intensive study from the American Heart Association showing you that your coronary risk shoots up from 11% to 25% in the months following the shot that you get from either Pfizer or Moderna. Twitter has labeled this to be an unsafe link, and they do not want you to read it. And the reason why they don't want you to read it is quite obvious. And so when you have the American Heart Association telling you that your risk in a group of people from 18 to 97, 566 people, half of them male, half of them female, and across the board, your risk of acute coronary syndrome rises 14%. So you need to think about if you should take the vaccine. The American Heart Association wants you to know that your risk of a acute coronary syndrome situation will go up to 25% after you've had that shot. Dana White says he's COVID-19 free, and he's very grateful to Dr. Joe Rogan. Take a listen to Dana White.
How are you feeling, Dana? This is the question on everybody's mind. We were worried about you.
How are you incredible. Doing? Today is day 5, testing positive for COVID. And today, this morning at 9 o'clock, I tested negative. Thank you, Dr. Joe Rogan.
Wait, is it time we actually give Joe Rogan his medical license? He got Aaron Rodgers healthy in like 2 days.
And himself. He did it himself and like 40 other people that he's close to, he's done this with. So, and here's the reality, in all seriousness. Joe Rogan is a brilliant guy, and he talks to the most brilliant people out there. He studies, he does his homework on all this stuff. And, you know, it's a fact that this works, and not just me. So me and my wife are both 53 years old. We both did it. My daughter is 15 years old. She did it. My mother-in-law is 80 years old. She did it. When I was just sitting here waiting to talk to you, my mother-in-law went strolling by here. She's on her way over to get a massage. Everybody feels like $1 million, man. So Sunday, I was in the steam. It was like 8 o'clock, and I sprayed eucalyptus. I couldn't smell.
You knew it right, you know, you had it right away?
Yeah, and I said, oh, shit. I know what this is. Literally got out of the steam room. I called Joe Rogan. Rogan said, tomorrow morning, do this. First of all, test and make sure you're positive for COVID. Did that, and then he said, first thing that you do is get the monoclonal antibodies.
Right.
Get the injection. Then do an NAD drip. Then tomorrow, get up and take the ivermectin, a dose of ivermectin, and then another vitamin drip, and you do the NAD and vitamin every other day till you're negative. Right. Wow. The next day at 11 o'clock, I had my taste and smell back.
No way.
Yeah. So Monday, I did what Rogan told me to do. Tuesday, I had my taste and smell back. Right. I know people that have had COVID and it's been weeks or months and still don't have their taste or smell back. This thing works. Now, what doesn't make sense to me is, here's the alternative, right? If you're like, okay, I there's no way I'd ever do this. Why? I don't know, but whatever. Then talk to your doctor. And you know what your doctor says? Go isolate yourself in a room for 10 days away from everybody. And if you start to die, then go to the hospital.
Right. Right. No thanks.
How about we throw the kitchen sink at this thing from day one and beat it? So I did what he said. Been doing it all along. Me and my family have felt great. And day 5, I tested negative for COVID.
That's incredible. And
so there you have Dana White, and he's very grateful to Dr. Joe Rogan, and of course Dana White is saying that tongue in cheek. But Joe Rogan, he seems to be on to something. Well, this is something that we've told you from the very beginning. You need to make sure that your own immune system is as strong as it can possibly be. Ivermectin absolutely works. It works very dramatically in some people. It works mildly in other people. But I've never seen a case where it has not worked. And the mainstream media, the CDC, the FDA, and the Biden administration, they want you to think that Joe Rogan and the people who believe like he does are the crazy people. And you heard what Dana White said, that most doctors will tell you that if you get COVID, you need to go and isolate yourself in a room in your house, wherever, for 10 days. And then if you start to feel like you're dying, you need to go to the hospital. And then what do they do when you get to the hospital? They put you on a intubator. And then what happens? Your lungs begin to collapse and you develop COVID pneumonia. And that whole system can absolutely be avoided. But you have to be willing to do some things on your own part. You have to be willing to be open-minded to taking things like vitamin D3 and zinc and quercetin and vitamin C and B complex and omega-3 oils. You need to be open to those things. You need to be open to ivermectin. And don't listen to what the people say when they want to call it a horse medicine. Ivermectin is nothing of the kind. Ivermectin was invented for human beings, and it's been prescribed successfully over 4 billion times. In 2015, ivermectin was given the Nobel Prize. The Nobel Prize, because they, to the people that invented it, the inventors of ivermectin were given the Nobel Prize in 2015 because they discovered that not only does ivermectin kill parasites, ivermectin also kills viruses. Now, you would think, if people were really following the science, you would think if the FDA and the CDC and Anthony Fauci were really so concerned about the science of everything, that when somebody like Joe Rogan and Dana White, and Dana said that there's 40 other people who did what Joe Rogan told them to do, and every single one of those people not only recovered, but they recovered in a matter of just a couple of days. You would think that if people were really concerned about science, that somebody would want to investigate that. But instead, the establishment is outraged. Take a listen to this clip from September of this year.
Okay, our guest today is the founder and director of the ECA Wellness Center of Rhode Island. He's conducting medical research on COVID long haulers syndrome, and he's part of a group treating over 5,000 patients with long hauler symptoms. I'm part of that clinical research. Pleased to have his expertise. He is Dr. Ram Yogendra, also known as Dr. Yo. Hello, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on. Really excited. Thank you.
Well, here's Joe Rogan. So he got sick, and here's what he said.
Hello, friends. So I got back from the road Saturday night feeling very weary. I had a headache, and I just felt just run down. And just to be cautious, I separated from my family, slept in a different part of the house, and throughout the night I got fevers and sweats, and I knew what was going on. So I got up in the morning, got tested, and turns out I got COVID. So we immediately threw the kitchen sink at it, all kinds of meds, monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin, Z-Pak, prednisone, everything. And I also got an NAD drip and a vitamin drip, and I did that 3 days in a row. And so here we are on Wednesday, and I feel great. I really only had one bad day. Sunday sucked, but Monday was better. Tuesday felt better than Monday, and today I feel good. I actually feel pretty fucking good. That's the good news. The bad.
So.
And sorry about that curse word. I thought I had edited that out of the clip, so please forgive me for that. But that's the protocol that Joe Rogan took back in September, and that's the same protocol that Dana White took last week. And not only did Dana White take it, his wife took it, his daughter took it, and his mother-in-law, who is 80 years old, she took it. Now, you heard a couple of times they were talking about something called an NAD drip. And just in case you were wondering what that is, an NAD drip is a coenzyme that boosts neurologic function, restores mental clarity, supports brain regeneration, and increases energy metabolism on a cellular level. NAD is short for nicotinamide, adenine, dinucleotide, and it's an amino acid and coenzyme of vitamin B3 that is found in every cell of your body. So that's what an NAD drip is, and please don't ask me to pronounce that again. But that's what Joe Rogan took, that's what Dana White took, and Dana White said that there's about 40 other people who have taken this Joe Rogan protocol, for lack of a better term, and these people recover in 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Now, why don't they want you to do these protocols? Why don't they want you to take ivermectin or an NAD drip? Why don't they want you to take vitamin and mineral supplementation? Why don't they give any credence to anything that is natural? I'll tell you why they don't. Take a listen to why they don't.
Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna, three vaccine makers, they delivered two shots for the Wuhan virus. Do you know how much profit they made from these shots? $1,000 every second. You heard that right. $1,000 every second. Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna made $1,000 every second from Wuhan virus vaccines. When these shots came out, they were sold like lifelines. These vaccines were supposed to pull the world out from the pandemic. Instead, they ended up building monopolies. While these three companies, Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna, are making money hand over fist. Look at the numbers. The vaccine trio have earned billions already. This year, they have made $34 billion from their shots. $34 billion. This is profit before taxes, which means these companies earn more than $93 million every day. $65,000 a minute, $1,000 every second.
So there you have some interesting statistics. The top three vaccine makers are making $1,000 per second, $65,000 per minute, and $93 million per day every single day. So why? Now, you might say to yourself, well, the mainstream media, they don't benefit from that. So why does the mainstream media always push these vaccines? Well, because the answer is that they do benefit from the profit that Pfizer makes.
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference, brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer.
Early Start, brought to you by Pfizer.
Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front, brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This Weather Report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press Data Download, brought to you by
Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning, sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet. Sponsored by Pfizer.
So that's why the mainstream media doesn't want you to know anything about natural means and natural immunity and vitamin D3 and zinc and quercetin and vitamin C and all the rest of these things. They don't want you to get better. They want you to take whatever is in these gene editing vaccines. Bill Gates released something just a couple of days ago, and I think it's worth listening to. Take a listen to Bill Gates talking about CRISPR technology.
Walter Isaacson's new book, The Codebreaker, tells an amazing story. It's about how Jennifer Doudna and other scientists discovered a new way to edit DNA. Editing DNA with precision has been a holy grail for scientists for decades. DNA, of course, encodes all of the biological functions. And so some of the mistakes in DNA cause disease, genetic disease. If we could go in and fix those mistakes, we could save many, many lives and get rid of these diseases. CRISPR is a very fascinating tool. You figure out a part of the DNA sequence that you want to change. Then you take the DNA that's nearby and create a guide in RNA. So that helps you locate the position. And then you link this Cas enzyme, which has the ability to do that cut and edit. And so pulling together this guiding RNA and this Cas enzyme, editing becomes possible. Our foundation is funding work to see if we can use CRISPR to knock down mosquito populations dramatically. We're also looking at CRISPR to make better seeds. We're also looking at ways that CRISPR might help us with very accurate diagnostics. And we're considering how the CRISPR gene editing might lead to a way of curing HIV and things like sickle cell. Using CRISPR to help cure disease is not very controversial, but using CRISPR, you could actually change the DNA that would determine your baby's eye color or skin tone. Most scientists agree that this is something that we should not do. Walter's book does a great job talking about how it's a slippery slope and raising the question of where should we draw the line and the relative role of the scientific community and governments in helping make sure that we...
So that was Bill Gates 13 days ago, telling you how exciting it is to see all these advancements in CRISPR technology. And he was throwing around terms like RNA and DNA and gene editing. But isn't that exactly what Stefan Ulrich from Bayer Pharmaceuticals says that the mRNA vaccines actually do?
Ultimately, the mRNA vaccines are an example for that cell and gene therapy. I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago in the public, would you be willing to take a gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body, we would have probably had a 95% refusal rate. I think this pandemic has also opened many people's eyes to innovation in the way that was maybe not possible before.
So there you have Bill Gates, and he's talking about the virtues of CRISPR gene editing technology 13 days ago. And then last week, you had the president of Bayer Pharmaceuticals telling you that the mRNA vaccines are actually DNA and cell gene editing technology. So if you put those things together, what conclusion do you come to? You come to the conclusion that they are editing your cells and performing gene therapy right now. And ultimately, that's what's behind this entire global experiment. They are injecting people with gene editing technology And they are editing people's genes. They are changing the fundamental structure of the DNA of the human body. And I think that that becomes apparent to anybody who's even halfway paying attention to everything that's going on. And then with a little bit of a lighthearted approach, let's take a listen to what J.P. Sears has to say with this clip. The Omicron variant is here. What you need to know.
I represent science.
Of course you do.
A new variant is here. How deadly is it?
Are there more lockdowns coming? More mandates?
Well, tonight, we're going to tell you everything you need to know to give you a booster of fear to keep you controllable. So, listen up! The Planned Democrats are very pleased to announce the new variant. The Omicron variant. How deadly is it, Mr. Science?
Has the molecular characteristics that would strongly suggest that it would be more transmissible.
Yeah, but no one's dying. And we wish they were. Let's get into it. At a genetic level with the Omicron variant, if you rearrange the letters, it tells you exactly what you are if you believe our fear-mongering around it. Now, the world is shocked to hear that the virus has mutated into a new variant, which is surprisingly exactly how viruses behave. And you should be terrified of this unpredictable viral behavior. But what should you believe about the new variant? Well, the boy who cried wolf says you should believe the boy who cried wolf. And I think that's a boy worth believing. More from Dr. Elfana Shelf in a minute. But first, just how deadly is the new variant? Well, here's what the South African doctor who identified the Omicron variant has to say about how deadly it is.
But looking at the mildness of the symptoms that we are seeing, currently there's no reason for panicking as we don't see severely ill patients.
Mild symptoms and no severely ill patients? Devastating. Sounds like we should be panicking. Let's find out more. We've all come to love that time of year when domestic terrorists who hold public office terrorize us for our protection with their expert scientific advice that's based in science fiction. Now, getting to the bottom of the story, what really happened with the new variant? Well, it's been reported that on November 24th, the nation of South Africa refused to buy more doses from Pfizer, saying they don't need any more. Then, just 2 days later, the World Health Organization announced that a new variant had been discovered in South Africa. And worldwide flights from South Africa became banned.
So, JP is saying it in a comical way, but he's giving you the truth. South Africa told Pfizer that they did not need any more doses of their vaccine. And within 48 hours after South Africa told Pfizer, we don't need more, the news came out that this brand new variant had just been discovered in, you guessed it, South Africa. And then within days after that, there was a global lockdown on all flights that come out of South Africa. Now, does that sound like a coincidence to you? Doesn't sound like a coincidence to me.
And Joe Pharmaceutical Biden got in on punishing South Africa by banning all flights from South Africa to the U.S. Here's what he had to say about the travel ban. A wall will not stop the coronavirus. Banning all travel from Europe or any other part of the world will not stop it. Oops. I think that's what he said when Trump did it. Here's what Biden had to say about when he did it. Here's what it does. It gives us time, scientific as always. And Kamala Harris took a break from blowing her way to the top to get in on the fear-mongering orgy when she had this to say about the travel ban. Trump's extended un-American travel ban undermines our nation's core values. It is clearly driven by hate, not security. Guys, I think these are their old tweets. Do we have the new ones? No? Oh, well, For our fearless leaders, the new variant's clearly the best thing since concentration camps when it comes to implementing a totalitarian takeover. Even though Australia and Canada already have theirs built. And Dr. Fauci, who's never treated a single COVID patient, said it's too early to tell if more lockdowns or mandates will be necessary. Oddsmakers are estimating a 100% chance that Dr. Lying to Congress will eventually deem it very necessary to implement more lockdowns and mandates. But we'll see, as he is a man of science, so continuing to do things that don't work, aside from working to destroy our country, which is actually the goal, is the scientifically right thing to do. Keeps everybody safe. Meanwhile, in Florida, everyone seems to be doing really well without being tyrannized with fear and totalitarianism. But luckily, according to Al Gore, Florida will be underwater 5 years ago. So when that happens, we won't have to worry about Florida ruining the whole plan anymore. And rest assured that Fauci has met with Biden to fill him in. A very important meeting, I'm sure, as now the president will be able to put his pretend cognitive ability to work trying to solve the pretend problem. During the meeting, Dr. Crimes Against Humanity said, "While it will take about 2 more weeks to have more definitive information on the transmissibility, severity, and other characteristics of the..."
So there you have J.P. Sears, and again, he's a comedian, but he's telling you things that... are factually accurate. South Africa rejected more of the Pfizer vaccine. Then Omicron was discovered. And even after one of the main researchers in South Africa said that Omicron presents with mild symptoms, the entire world went into a panic anyway. Take a listen to what she said.
Joining us is one of the first doctors to uncover the new strain. That is Dr. Angelique Kotze, chairperson of the South African Medical Association, and somebody who we should all be listening to right now. Doctor, I really appreciate you joining us this morning, an important interview. I hope we had the time. I was publishing stuff from you and some of your colleagues on Twitter yesterday, and over the weekend, I saw Professor Salim Karim saying that current vaccines may actually still be effective against Omicron. From your vantage point, what do we know right now, and what might the world and some world leaders be getting wrong?
Good morning, and good morning to all your viewers out there. So, yeah, that's a very interesting question. So there's two things that we can look at it from two angles. The one is, what do we know? Is what are we as clinical practitioners or family practitioners see on ground level? And what are our current ICU status? And then on the other hand, the other angle is, what are the scientists seeing and their experience? Because it's two, I want to say it's actually two worlds. One is a scientific world and the other one is the clinical world. So at this stage, in what we are observing, is mild cases. As in this morning, I already saw 3 cases, but all 3 children under the age of one, the oldest was 13, and a 10-year-old, and I think the other one is 7 years old. So mild cases, again, easily treated at home. The cases that we have seen last week and the week before last week, also mild cases. So we are looking for the severe cases, because the severe cases is what's going to say we are in trouble. I presume that might come later, but not now. Now it's mild symptoms, easily treated at home.
Okay, the data we were looking at, and I published...
So how complicated is that to figure out? There you have the main researcher from South Africa, and she is telling you that the cases of Omicron that they found in South Africa were mild and easy to treat. And yet the entire world has gone into a pretend panic because they want to use this to force the vaccine into every single human being living on Earth, whether they need the vaccine or not.
Some national South African data showing that across the nation, hospitalizations are well down from your winter. However, in the Gauteng province, Johannesburg, one of the most densely populated areas in the world, we have seen hospitalizations triple off their lows of a couple of weeks ago. Can you tell us what the current trend of hospitalizations is and what we may know about who is in the hospital, vaccinated, unvaccinated, old, young, etc., doctor?
So that data is not available currently. So even if the numbers are, you know, it's, I'm not sure where the data is coming up that from that the numbers tripled in the hospitals, because in the Pretoria region hospitals, which is the epicenter, I did a survey yesterday, and mostly two patients. I know of one patient that's been ventilated currently in one of the private hospitals, and the others are there before we have started to see on the 18th of November these cases. So, you know, it might be that the public sector hospital seeing a bigger influx of patients. And then again, I'm also not aware that they are under any strain at this stage of the game. Again, that might change. I know that Balakwana Hospital is where Prof. Ruda is. They have seen a few young people with comorbidities coming in into the ICU. Whether that's Omicron or Delta, I don't know.
Yeah, that is coming, by the way, from the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. So I published the website yesterday, and that's kind of what here in the U.S. a lot of people in the media, including myself, are looking at and sending around. Should we not be looking at that data for the accurate or at least entire picture, Dr. Coetzee?
Yes, we can look at that, the data. You know, I'm also looking at our data that we have seen today from Discovery Health. And again, there's nothing significant that say, yes, we are moving into a real problem going forward.
All right. So that was a relatively long clip, but I wanted you to hear everything the doctor had to say, because this researcher from South Africa said that all the data that they have regarding Omicron does not present anything that's one bit worse than Delta. And as far as the symptoms go, it's a lot milder than Delta. And yet, New York City today is now mandating that private companies inject every single one of their employees because Omicron is so dangerous. Obviously, this is a complete and total lie. But the mainstream media loves to give you false information, and they love to give you fear-mongering. Take a listen to this from CNN, talking about Marcus Lamb from Daystar Network, who was a very outspoken anti-vaxxer who died of COVID. Take a listen.
Being anti-vax was his crusade, but COVID evidently claimed his life. Marcus Lamb died after being hospitalized for COVID-19 recently. Lamb led a popular Christian broadcast network and used his empire, among other things, he used it to spread inaccurate information about coronavirus vaccines. He advocated for alternate treatments instead. One of his shows featured prominent anti-vaxxers like Robert Kennedy Jr. And though Lamb's death has made national headlines this week, some Christian leaders don't want to talk about it, as the Washington Post pointed out in this story. Joining me now is someone who will talk about it. Bob Smetana is a national writer for the Religion News Service and a former president of the Religion News Association. Bob, tell us about Marcus Lamb. For those who didn't watch his programs on Daystar, what was he telling viewers about COVID-19?
Sure. So Marcus Lamb was the head of one of the largest Christian broadcasters. He was telling people that the COVID vaccines were dangerous, that the alternative medicines were better, that really there was kind of a conspiracy by the government and the big pharma and the news media to give him disinformation. So he felt he was giving the truth about the COVID vaccines.
And how does this relate to the larger landscape of Christian broadcasting? Has there been a lot of vaccine denialism on other networks or programs or on other broadcasts as well?
There have been some. There's some some prominent folks to do that. So Lamb did that. There's a prominent broadcaster named Eric Metaxas who's been very anti-vaccine. You get someone like Dave Ramsey, who's a Christian financial guru who didn't talk about vaccines, but was very skeptical of COVID and anti-mask. I think what you have, and it shows in the broader Christian, especially evangelical landscape, is that the COVID vaccine, the COVID pandemic has been very difficult for churches. It's shut them down. It's cut people off from one another, and it's become seen as an attack on religion.
Even though it's not. It's been so politicized, and unfortunately there's this kind of toxic merger of right-wing politics and some of these churches that seems to have advanced or sort of made the situation worse, right? Where, they're preaching the gospel of Donald Trump and vaccine denialism.
Yeah, you saw that actually this recently at a big church down in San Antonio where there was one of these kind of God and country anti-COVID rallies where they were shouting in a church, let's go Brandon, which is a political slogan. There's been this, I think folks see this, this kind of distrust of institutions and anger about the way the country's going and how it's disrupted religion. And in Pentecostal spheres like Lamb, they have a real strong view of spiritual warfare, so that they believe there are spiritual forces out there at play. And so they see this as an attack. So when he got sick, they saw this as an attack on him for spreading the truth about COVID. And that's why one reason why his folks won't stop with their kind of promotion of this vaccine skepticism and alternative treatments for COVID, because they see that it's continuing the good fight.
Mm. So Lamb's funeral is tomorrow. What does this mean more broadly about Christian media? I sometimes fear that, let's call it secular media, does not pay enough attention to Christian broadcasting and to the world that you cover every day. There's been this battle raging about Trump and now about COVID in Christian media. What do we need to keep an eye on, Bob?
Well, we definitely want to keep an eye on the kind of COVID restrictions and the kind of pushback against that. We should be watching, as reporters, I watch Christian media, not because I necessarily want to, but because it's important to see what the concerns, they're tapping into concerns of folks about the way COVID has disrupted the country. They've tapped into the whole CRT, critical race theory debates long before it became popular in the regular media. I think this kind of disruption of, can people trust one another? I think there's a whole, what I would call like a distrust economy, where there is a way to attract people, both in the political and the religious world, by feeding on distrust and saying they're lying to you. We'll tell you the truth. And sometimes folks, I think the folks like Lamb were true believers. They believed that they were standing up for the good fight, and look how just churches have been disrupted and the country's disrupted over this. So one thing this has done is made it very difficult to talk about like vaccines. Clergy won't talk about it. And so even his peers who are sad he has passed away and may not hold his vaccine views are not going to criticize him for this. They just won't talk about vaccines or COVID or masks because it seems.
All right. We had about enough of that clip, but I wanted you to hear what is typical from the mainstream liberal media about what happened to Marcus Lamb at Daystar Networks. Now, what you didn't hear anywhere in that entire clip was the fact that Marcus Lamb was a diabetic. That's what they didn't tell you. Marcus Lamb had diabetes. And diabetes is one of the comorbidities of COVID that can make it a whole lot harder to recover from COVID after you've been infected with it. So in that whole 5-minute clip, mocking Marcus Lamb and the Daystar Network and mocking Christians who don't want to take the vaccine, they didn't tell you, or they conveniently forgot to tell you, that Marcus Lamb had diabetes. And that makes it a whole lot tougher to recover from COVID-19. Now, let's switch gears for a moment and let's see what's happening on the international stage. Russia, by all reports, is preparing to invade Ukraine. Take a listen.
The White House has confirmed President Biden will speak with Russian President Vladimir Putin on Tuesday. He's expected to focus on what U.S. intelligence officials say is a planned invasion of Ukraine. President Biden says the U.S. is taking steps to make it, quote, very, very difficult for that to happen. U.S. intelligence says Russia is preparing to invade Ukraine with nearly 175,000 troops. The attack could happen as soon as next month. Kremlin officials deny the claims. Officials there say that they are only conducting military exercises. Russia says Ukraine has 125,000 troops at the border as well. Joining me now is Nina Khrushcheva from Moscow. She is a professor of international affairs at the New School. Nina, thanks for being here. I want to get some context on why Russia would invade Ukraine. If the U.S. intelligence reports are true, what does Russia have to gain from launching an attack?
Well, I'm not entirely sure that the U.S. intelligence reports are entirely true, though. I think Politico yesterday, a few days ago, published another piece saying that the intelligence report says that although Russian intentions may be indeed serious, it also doesn't look like the invasion is to happen just because there's no logistical support. And clearly, that's not on the ground. So I would not necessarily think that Putin is preparing to invade Ukraine, although the military moves on the border close to Ukraine, in fact, is happening. And that is, I believe, and many people, many analysts here in Moscow believe that is a way to send a message to the West that Ukrainian armament that is happening right now and NATO kicking out, I think a few months ago, maybe last month, I don't remember exactly, 10 Russian personnel from the Brussels, from the Brussels headquarters, something that they need to bring attention to. And so Putin is thinking, if I'm not being heard in words, that I'm going to show that there is force that I may or may not be using.
Nina, it's so helpful that you are there in Moscow. How is the Russian government describing?
So there you have a Russian analyst in Moscow telling you that even though that Russia has mobilized 175,000 troops on the Ukrainian border, that it's not likely that Russia is planning on attacking anytime soon. I believe differently. I believe that they are planning some sort of a move, some sort of a military strategy. And they're doing it in coordination with what China has been doing in the Atlantic. And China has been building up their resources. They're seeking to build military bases in the Atlantic. And China has been making very threatening overtures to the nation of Taiwan. Now, just coincidentally, Russia and China and Iran are all nations that are featured prominently in end times Bible prophecy. So if we are as close to everything as we think we are, then we would expect these nations, which are involved in end times Bible prophecy, to be doing exactly what they're doing. And this is exactly what they are doing. So what do we see happening today on the end times landscape? Today is December 6th of 2021. Only a couple more weeks and we're going to be in 2022. So what sort of things can we expect to see happening in 2022? Well, in 2020, we saw them sowing the seeds of global confusion and chaos with lockdowns, destroying economies. And here we are about a year and a half later, and we are in the midst of a supply chain crisis. We are in the midst of a shipping crisis. We are in the midst here in America of rapidly escalating inflation. And on our southern border, we have thousands and thousands of undocumented illegal aliens coming in on a weekly basis And about 17% of everybody coming across the border illegally is COVID positive. Now, would it make you mad to learn that the Biden administration does not mandate COVID vaccinations for a single illegal immigrant that comes across the border? Why would they do that? If they're just following the science, if they just want people to be safe, Bill de Blasio said today that this is the first strike to keep the people safe. Well, how is it keeping people safe if you have tens of thousands of illegal immigrants streaming across the border, 17% is COVID positive, and yet nobody on any level of American government is mandating that they be vaccinated? Why is that? If COVID is really the health hazard that they say it is, and that COVID is so incredibly deadly that America has to have vaccination mandates that are being fought over in court right now, and yet the leaders in Washington have not mandated and will not mandate that illegal immigrants coming across the border that we know nothing about their medical records, nothing about their background, nothing about their family history, complete and total strangers from foreign countries who illegally enter in over our borders in the dead of night, and not a single one of those people need to be vaccinated. But you do. And your five-year-old child does. And your employer, if you live in New York City, is about to tell you, if you want to keep your job, if you want to be able to walk the streets of New York City and get a coffee and a roll, that the only way you're going to be allowed to do that is if you receive the government injection. And yet, not a single member of the Biden administration, nobody in the FDA, nobody in the CDC, and certainly not Anthony Fauci, are even talking about vaccinating the illegal immigrants. Now, what happens to those illegal immigrants when they come across the border? Well, they are held for a period of time, and then the Biden administration puts them on buses and puts them on planes and sends them to states like Florida and New York, Montana, Wyoming. And it's all happening at 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning when the vast majority of people are sleeping. And they are sowing the seeds of destruction in dozens and dozens of states across the country. They are not mandating vaccinations for a single one of these illegal immigrants that they are dropping off in the dead of night. Now, you might say to yourself, what happens to these illegal immigrants when they get off the bus, they get off the plane? Who is there to meet them? Well, would it surprise you to learn that the Catholic Church is paid by the United States government and has been for many years now, going back to when Obama was president? The Roman Catholic Church operates shelters all across the United States. They receive tens of millions of dollars per year, and it is the Roman Catholic Church that is responsible for receiving the bulk of these immigrants, these illegal border jumpers, 17% of whom have who are COVID positive, and it is the Roman Catholic Church, paid for by the American government, who is responsible for integrating these people in American society. Now, when you begin to get a handle on just how deep the rabbit hole goes and just how much they're willing to destroy to bring in the New World Order, something that was promised, it was coming one day, someday. It was promised that it was going to arrive. And it was a Republican president that first threatened you with the New World Order.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
We've played that clip many, 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 many times. I never get tired of playing that clip because that clip reminds me, and hopefully it reminds you, of exactly what's happening right now. George H.W. Bush, he said that in 1991. He said it on three separate occasions. And it was largely in the context of the first Gulf War. And that's what President, Republican President, mind you, George H.W. Bush, he told you that this was coming. And then 10 years later, 9/11 happened. And then the Patriot Act happened. And then Obama became president. And then Trump became president. And then Biden became president. And so you can clearly see that Republican or Democrat, blue or red, they are simply two wings on the same bird, flying the bird body to the same location. And everything that you've been seeing for the last 633 days, we told you at the start of the show that today is day 633 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And I think we're going to do something very special on day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. I think we're going to have a very special broadcast on that day. So stay tuned about that. But all these things that are happening in 2020, 2021, and the things that we are speculating on for 2022, they all have at their root cause the New World Order. And when you begin to understand that all of these things that don't necessarily seem like they're connected, they are connected. And they are all leading you to the same place. Now, how about this story? My buddy Dave up in New Jersey sent me this actually late last night. U.S. Federal District Judge Alan Windsor of the U.S. District Court for the North District of Florida has ruled that the Pfizer-BioNTech Wuhan coronavirus vaccine bearing emergency use authorization is not interchangeable with the company's new Comirnaty injection, which was fully licensed by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration back in August. Apparently, the two injections contained different ingredients and are manufactured in different ways. Judge Windsor said that they legally are not the same and that the emergency use authorization one cannot be forced on people by the Department of Defense. Judge Windsor's decision about the EUA injection from Pfizer-BioNTech also applies to those from Moderna and J&J, both of which are also not licensed or approved by the FDA. It turns out that the FDA's approval of community was accomplished by confusing documents and equally confusing public statements that did not specify any differences between the two injections. And the judge says the licensed vaccine has the same formulation as the EUA authorized vaccine, and the products can be used interchangeably to provide the vaccination series without presenting any safety or effectiveness concerns. The products are legally distinct with certain differences that do not impact safety or effectiveness. So here you have a federal judge saying that the vaccine that's being used under the Emergency Use Authorization Act is not the same drug as the Pfizer Comirnaty drug. Now, isn't that an interesting story? We told you last week, I think the podcast that we did on Friday, about the FDA documents that were suppressed. Amazingly, in a study that was done by Pfizer, where 1,233 people died of the Pfizer vaccine, according to the Pfizer report, in the first 90 days of the release of the vaccine. You ever wonder how much stuff they're really holding back? Have you ever wondered how much stuff that they're really not telling you? Now, I want you to think for a moment. I want you to think about all the people that you know in your life. We weren't able to pull up the prayer list today, but with each passing show that we do, more and more people are on the prayer list because they have spontaneously developed heart conditions, strokes, and blood clots after receiving one or two rounds of the mRNA vaccines. And I know a lot of people now who are suffering in the aftermath of having received those injections. They get no help from the hospital. They get no help from the doctor. They are told that their condition does not exist. And yet they have had profoundly life-altering consequences after taking the vaccine. Do you know a lot of people like that? Because I certainly do. Maybe I'm in a unique position because people write to me from all over the world. But I would have to believe that the average person by this point knows somebody with blood clots or spontaneous bleeding or heart attacks or whatever the case may be, after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine.
When I think about my dad growing up, I certainly think about that seriousness. But very few people get to see. He's funny, weird, and really playful.
God help us. In 1981, HIV/AIDS was evolving rapidly and frighteningly. There was anger at the government's response.
When you got sick, you were gone fast.
It's affecting you now.
Yeah.
Why?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
When COVID hit, he became this target.
My dad said, we're going to get through this whole thing. And he's held back.
You don't do it because you want to make money. You don't do it for the glory. You do it because you care.
When you're involved in a race to stop a horrible disease, you always feel you're not doing things quickly enough.
Bonding works. We use his DNA for the 11.
CRISPR is a term. It's bacteria have an immune system that cuts invaders, cuts their DNA. And what we've done now, as scientists, we've now utilized that system, take it out of the bacteria, and we use it to create designer mutations, designer gene changes in animals and also in humans. So it's a bacterial immune system that corrects genes. And we use it all the time now. It's actually, what's interesting about it is we've been able to mutate genes for many years, but this is dial up a gene mutation. You can choose exactly where you want to make it. And recently, a Chinese researcher in our field came out and said he's engineered a couple of twin girls with CRISPR to be resistant to HIV, the AIDS virus.
The field of DNA editing and medical genetics is changing much faster than we think. AI and CRISPR technology have been making revolutionary changes to the field of medicine. Artificial intelligence is being applied in identification of harmful genes and treatment of disease. Though the specific use cases and applications are numerous, the importance of AI in healthcare and its impact on the biotech industry could grow exponentially in the near future. Multiple new gene editing technologies in addition to artificial intelligence will cause major changes in healthcare. The gene editing tool, CRISPR, short for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindrome Repeats, could help us to reprogram life. It gives scientists more power and precision than they ever had to alter human DNA.
And we're going to be keeping you up to date and informed going forward on CRISPR technology. That's one of the things that you're going to see being talked about a whole lot in 2022. Now that they've been able to inject billions of people with the mRNA gene editing technology, and they have got that into people's systems, one of the things that I think you're going to see in 2022 is now they are going to start accessing those systems and they're going to start doing things. Remember, this whole thing is a great experiment. You are the experiment. And the first step in the experiment is you have to get the test subjects inoculated. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now. We are seeing the global effort to accomplish what Bill Gates said for the last 20 years has been his lifelong mission, to inject the entire human population with a vaccine. He never specified what that vaccine is. But I think at day 633 of 15 days to flatten the curve, I think we are all well aware of what that vaccine is. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. I thank you so much for tuning in. I thank you so much for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Believers. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the second installment on the seven churches of Revelation. If you haven't listened to part one, please go to nowtheendbegins.com and take a listen to last night's Bible study, part one on the seven churches of the book of Revelation, and that will be a blessing to you. And Lord willing, Wednesday night we'll be doing part two. Have a great week, everybody.
Once I wandered in sin's black night, there was no way to make my wrongs right. Then the old accuser to the Lord did cry, he is a sinner and now he must die. Then I heard Father, I'll go and I'll pay his sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save this child who is sin-sick and lost. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus
that brings victory. There are those who rely on words that they need, and some men count on the times they play through. But when the battle's over and victory is won, I'll go home through the blood of the Father's only Son, and it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me, and it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory.